Clinton, when you hear time-tested and tired holiday songs on a steady loop?
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we invited KCUR's music hosts to help us find a new joy in holiday tunes. We'll see what great finds they've brought to unwrap for us.
One month was Jesus born, and last morning, yeah.
More ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow, sleigh bells ringing, dreams of a white Christmas, dashing through the snow. It's a swell time, a jingle bell time. This time of year, every year, is a medley of those phrases stuck in our brains. And this time, like all times, we offer Christmas music. This time, like all times, it's personal. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. For our Christmas music show today, we've brought some of your favorite music curators, names and voices you're very familiar with. Renee Blanche, host of KCUR's Night Tides, Chuck Haddix, almost 30 years running with the Fish Fry, and the name of the show is Cypress Avenue, and the name of the host is Bill Shapiro. And we have, last but not least, Blue Eyed Soul, our show's music curator, Central Standard's Miles Bonney. Don't everybody talk at once. We're all hosts and we're silent. What is this? Is this silent night? Is that what it
good
is?
Good morning, Jabalani.
And we were doing morning. So well.
That's
we
Renee talking. That's Bill watch. Shapiro.
Mutual respect.
Exactly. We well, got thank Chuck Haddix in the house, too.
Thank you for having us on, Jabalani.
No problem. We'll begin with the question. I'll just throw it out there for a show full of hosts of varied musical taste. Chuck Haddix, what's a must for a Christmas song to have that other songs don't?
Well, you know, Christmas songs... No. Repeat that question once again.
What's a must for – what's a key ingredient?
Oh, what's a key ingredient?
For a Christmas song.
There's a lot of different kinds of Christmas songs. I think to be a pure Christmas song, it has to be on the one level about the birth of Christ. Like songs like The Last Month of the Year, Amen refers to it, Go Tell It on the Mountain. There's lots of ways they tell the story of the birth of Christ. Another way is about home and about the season, songs about, you know, I'll be home for Christmas and I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And then there's, of course, the novelty songs, you know, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Louis Armstrong doing Zat You Santa Claus. There's all kinds of, you know, Lord Beginner singing, you know, Christmas Morning, the Rum had me yawning, you know, and the kind of novelty Christmas songs. I think that's kind of three categories of Christmas songs.
Renee, you hail from Motown.
Yes.
What did you grow up listening to for Christmas? What constitutes a true Christmas song for you?
For me, faith is what I heard a lot of. Faith, family, celebration, and the groove that came with it.
Faith and the groove that comes with it.
I like that.
I like that. Yeah. Bill Shapiro, favorite Christmas song of all time. What delineates a Christmas song from a holiday song?
Well, that's a tough one for me because I'm the Jewish kid here at the table. but so is
Jesus in the manger.
That's true. That's unfortunately, that's forgotten by the people who are celebrating
right, oftentimes, too.
But the fact of the matter is that Christmas, at least in this country, has become a universal holiday. I mean, it is probably the most celebratory time of the year, and any of the music that captures that spirit of celebration, for me, is Christmas music.
Miles Bonney, what makes a Christmas song a Christmas song versus just a compulsory thing on the playlist when it's December?
Oh, I sure hope it's not a compulsory thing if you don't actually want to hear it. I think that it helps make people feel warm. I think Christmas music or music that's played in the winter is an addition to the other items on one's list that makes it feel as though it is that holiday time, such as perhaps a tree or menorah, you know, whatever goes along visually and experientially with the season.
It's about an experience, like you said before, Chuck. You could actually be talking about Little Drummer Boy or Oh Holy Night. You could actually be talking about the birth of Christ, or you could be talking about a feeling of nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia comes into play. You know, I have a confession to make. When I was a kid, you know, I mean, I've always listened to the radio a lot. When on WHB, they would shut down and play nothing but Christmas music for 24 hours. And that's when I turned my radio off. I have only recently become to embrace the spirit of Christmas. And now here I am, you know, here Christmas Eve playing 4 hours of all this crazy Christmas music, you know, this year and playing Christmas music. And I probably have one of the more significant collections of Christmas music in the country, actually, in a specific genre. I mean, when I first started doing my program, I had three LPs. You know, 26 years ago, and I came in and used those LPs very well. Now, you know, of course, I've got boxes of Christmas music.
For our people who might not know, an LP is a long playing circular album disc.
We turned at 33 and a third RPM.
33 and a third RPM, which is a whole nother show, Mr. Shapiro. Michael on Facebook loves the song "Merry Christmas, Baby" by Charles Brown, not to be confused with Charlie Brown. Thanks, Chuck, says Michael. This year's a must-have every holiday season. Your set, I'm assuming that Michael's talking about on Facebook. Thanks, Chuck, to Chuck Haddock. Susan Hild on Facebook says, I would be so happy never to hear that annoying Little Drummer Boy song again. Talking about these sort of compulsory songs that we hear every year. Bill Shapiro, what's your all-time favorite Christmas song, your Christmas Island song?
I would suppose it's Nat King Cole's Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
The Christmas song, actually, is what it's called, and that's how it starts.
Yeah, right.
Why is that?
For me, it captures kind of the warmth and spirit of the holiday, what we're talking about now. I think it captures the concept of family celebration, which is a big part, I think, of Christmas. It's something that families do together. It just has a warmth to it that, for me, you know, contacts me.
That's hard to beat. Renee, do you like the Nat King Cole version or the Temptations version better? What's the difference between crooning and singing on that?
Well, my favorite is both are absolutely incredible, but my favorite is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by the Temptations. it's just the harmony, it's the fantasy. And both croon, except, you know, you're talking about five guys versus one, but they just blow it out of the water.
Well, I brought that one in today, so we're going to get
He did. That's in our Christmas stopping today as we listen. But we're going to turn to Chuck. Chuck, you're one of the elder statesmen of jazz and blues, and you said you've compiled, and you have compiled, one of the more impressive Christmas collections in the country when it comes to the jazz and blues genre and playlists in this town of ours. What's your earliest memory of a Christmas song? And tell us about the Vera Hall War track that we're about to hear.
Well, you know, my earliest memory really is Chuck Berry doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Run, Rudolph.
Yeah, run.
And that's a wonderful song. You know, incidentally, the Christmas song, probably one of the most popular Christmas songs of all time, when Mel Torme wrote that, he wrote it in August 1944, and he said he wanted something cool. It was so hot, he wanted something cool. And Nat King Cole recorded it in the summer of 1946, and then he recorded it, went back in the studio and recorded it with a small string section. Then he went back, I think, in 1953 and recorded it with a full orchestra. He got a lot of mileage out of that. Vera Hall Ward is a very well-known singer and folklorist from Alabama. She was born in 1902, and she was one of those artists that was documented by Alan Lomax and other folklorists. And she sings this song, The Last Month of the Year. The Staple Singers would later have a big hit with it. And this is a field recording from 1959. And what appeals to me is just it's an a cappella rendition, and it tells the story of the birth of Jesus. And also it incorporates a lesson on what are the months of the year. You know, say, for example, for children, we often learn, you know, 30 days has September, April, June. And it has that same quality to it. There's a childlike simplicity to it, and it's really from the heart. It's really a very moving performance.
It's straightforward. The Last Month of the Year by Vera Hall Ward. Let's go to that right now.
One month was Jesus born, and last month in the year. One month was Jesus born, and last month in the year. Ooh, Lord, you got January, February, March, oh, Lord. You got April, May, and June, Lord. Got the July, August, September, October, and November. You got 25th day of December. It's the last month in the year. I'm talking about Mary's baby. Last month in the year. I'm talking about Mary's baby. Last month in the year.
Ooh, you heard a snippet of Last Month of the Year by Vera Hall Ward. A cappella. Chuck, you could just feel chills in your body on that.
Oh, yeah, you can.
You're sitting there like one of the childs that she's instructing. Remember now.
Well, she's a storyteller. So she's telling the story of Mary's child. And she's approaching the microphone like, you younger children, you older children, you sing this to younger children. And that's important because that's the way culture is passed on, particularly in song.
And the oral tradition is very important in jazz, blues, gospel, soul. All of that, as you know, Chuck, and as you tell us every weekend, as you show us every weekend with your sets. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall, but I'm not the only host in the house this morning. We have our musical trilogy, Trinity, three wise people, and one blue-eyed soul monster, Miles Bonney. These are the programming mavens of KCUR for music. We have Renee Blanche, host of Night Ties, Chuck Haddix of The Fish Fry, Cypress Avenue's Bill Shapiro. Kansas City, what's your favorite Christmas song and why? Tell us what your must-have on your playlist. Give us a call, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Facebook is not necessarily compulsory, but you can use that too. Renee.
Yes.
Renee Blanche. Your tastes tend to be more eclectic, reflective. What's on your list? Tell us about Say.
Say.
Say. And why you picked it. What's up with Say?
It's a vocal piece because, of course, so much of Night Tides is instrumental. And there was the best that I wish I had the background like Chuck and Bill here, but so much of my programming is intuitive, and it's about how it hits me and how it strikes me. And she was brand new to me when I was introduced to her. Here's this holiday CD, and it's just the way she rocked the song.
Well, Carol the Bells, even if you don't have the anthropological or historic context, tell us how it makes you feel. Tell us why you put it on your playlist.
At that time, and this was released in 2007, it gave me a warm feeling, you know, a feeling different from all the other sounds as it was presented by her.
Let's go into Say, Carol the Bells, Renee Blanche's pick. That was Say, Carol the Bells, a rhythmic tune from the playlist of Renee Blanche, host of Night Tides. Here on Central Standard, we also have Chuck Haddix, host of The Fish Fry, Bill Shapiro of Cypress Avenue, an all-star lineup of KCUR music show mavens. Miles Bonney, what are you doing?
I'm
right
loving
now?
This. It's just so diverse. I love going from the a cappella song to something that's so electronic and influenced and atmospheric. I think it's a wonderful combination of songs we've played so far. I'm excited to be here as a listener as well.
Thank you for your color commentary. We'd like you to jump in later as we go on. Bill Shapiro, what have you brought for us? Why?
I brought two tracks for us. I brought one that Renee has alluded to, which is The Temptations doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I brought that because of the fact that it is kind of an offbeat track. I don't know how much of the white community is aware of the fact that The Temptations ever did that song. And it also surprised me that Motown, which was one of the most effective commercial studios to ever come along, did so little Christmas music, because every other studio I know has managed to do as much Christmas music as they can.
It's interesting that you mentioned the disparity in terms of the hue of people and the knowledge of that. For instance, in my household, every Black Friday for the last 20 years, as soon as Thanksgiving was over, there was a white Temptations tape that went directly, sometimes it was even an A-track, and it went directly into the player, whether it was a phonograph, a record player, an A-track tape, one of those dual cassettes with the dubber, the boombox, ghetto blaster, whatever you want to call it. The Temptations Christmas album was in there. So when did you first discover the Rudolph rendition by The Temptations?
In all honesty, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago when...
Four or five years ago?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, I got to be honest about it. Wow. Motown has re-released all of their singles. It's an amazing set of stuff, and I've accumulated them all at great personal expense, and I found The Temptations' Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I had not ever heard it before that time.
What was your reaction?
What was your reaction?
Like,
my reaction was, well, of course, I think The Temptations was the greatest vocal group to come out of Motown, so my reaction was very, very positive.
Renee, you were in the house listening to those guys.
They
were roughing in them, going in on these Christmas classics. What was your response to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, because we're about to hear it?
It was hip. It was fun, and their harmonies were absolutely incredible. And they made the song work. It took away the kid that childlikeness to it, and made it adult.
certainly. Bill Shapiro's pick, and frankly, all of our picks there. I think we have consensus here in the studio on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Chuck, you're feeling that one too, right?
Oh yeah, I'm feeling that love. Well, what's interesting though, when you hear, it becomes a Black thing. Really, it becomes a Black song. Like hearing the Ravens doing White Christmas, it's anything but a White Christmas.
Right.
The same with Rudolph and The Temptations.
Well put.
All right. Well, let's go to that. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by The Temptations.
And Donner and Blitzen, oh, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny.
Red-Nosed Reindeer by The Temptations. We almost just shut the show down and just started dancing, really. We have Renee Blonde from Night Tides in the house. Bill Shapiro, that's actually his pick. Bill Shapiro, host of Cypress Avenue here on KCUR. That's actually his pick. Chuck Haddix is digging it. Miles Bonney's feeling it. What do you think of that rendition of The Temptations, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
I don't know, man. This is amazing.
He's in a trance. He doesn't
know. I'm in a trance. I mean, this is like I wish I could have been here for college every day.
Right.
Just in settings like this.
Just at Central Standard for college.
Why not?
We're taking applications now, people.
Can I fly?
All right.
I love that.
Time to dig in the crates with our music curators here in the studio for another overlying question. Christmas songs are meant to evoke a certain mood. Let's just go around the horn here a little bit. As DJs and musical tastemakers, what do you hope to achieve in a playlist, Chuck Haddix, for the pace of the listening experience? If you're asked to DJ a Christmas party or bring a playlist to a Christmas party, what do you hope to achieve with your playlist?
Well, you know, I program intuitively, just like Renee does. It's like what my ear is. Wednesday, like when I do the fish fry, okay, I'll tell you how I'll do it. I'll be here Christmas Eve from 8 until midnight spinning, you know, all these crazy Christmas music. And I'll go downstairs on a Wednesday night, and I'll start programming the show. And the way I program it is I play three tracks back-to-back, and I play two sets of up-tempo, and then I play a set of ballads. And that gives it the brightness. And also I try and touch on all the genres that I feature with the Fish Fry within that hour clock, just like anybody else. And it's really not that much difference. But towards the end of the night, what I'll do is I'll start playing the really kind of powerful stuff like Irma Thomas doing Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Right.
You know, and it's just a wonderful performance. And I get the novelty stuff out early, and then kind of get into the more religious music towards the end of the program. That's the way I do it.
Bill Shapiro, is your approach the same? Do you start zany and then get reflective?
Not necessarily. Actually, I've got a confession to make. As many of you know, I've been doing the gig around here I'm in my 35th year now. So I do the same Christmas show every year. I put it together 34 years ago, and it gives me a couple of time to take off that day, and I don't have to come into the studio. But I've tampered with it over time as I've picked up on new tracks that I liked. But basically, I was just looking for what I'm always looking for, which is the best music I can find in the genre that I am playing.
Is it intuitive like your peers here at KCUR?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm turned on by, I think, as a pop music fan, I'm always looking for what's new. I'm always looking for something that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up and says, hey, there's some magic here.
Speaking of hair on the back of the neck standing up, Greg writes in to share his favorite song for this time of year, Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues. He writes, any song that begins with It Was Christmas Evening in the Drunk Tank has to be considered a classic, according to Greg. Unfortunately, a lot of the following lyrics will be kept from airplay, so we won't follow those lyrics.
I've played that on the air.
And he's played that on the air before. Yeah, I mean, you've been on 35 years. You've earned that right. Miles Bonney,
yes?
Across all genres, what do you find to be the main musical ingredient that stands the test of time? Is it lyrics? Is it percussion, melody, rhythm? What's the it factor for Santa Bonney?
It's the result of listening to that song. It's the feeling one gets from hearing the music, which just sounds like something we all share. And with respect to music during the holidays, I think things that are classic or timeless are things that make you feel as though there is a tradition before you, regardless of what your relationship with it is a sound I think is helpful.
Is your pace intuitive too? Like Renee, like Bill, like Chuck?
Absolutely, yeah, largely. And I think, you know, however I feel at the end of one song determines how I feel the next beginning of the next song should be.
And that's what goes into fading the next song in.
Absolutely. I created a mix last night for the club online, and that's what it was.
Sarah writes, I love the fun, lighthearted stuff like Leon Redbone, Christmas Island, and White Christmas by the Drifters. Do you know that one, Chuck? White Christmas by the Drifters.
Yeah, it's actually it's highly derivative of the Ravens. I think the Ravens recorded it for the national label, and a few years later, the Drifters covered it, and they pretty much covered it note for note.
Except they had Clyde McFadder.
Yeah, they had Clyde McFadder. It's kind of like the yin and the yang. You know, you've got in the Ravens, you've got Jimmy Ricks, who has true. That big bass voice, and Clyde McFadder has the falsetto. But down to the end of it, when they go jingle bells, and it's wonderful. Both are wonderful performances.
I love that rendition, Chuck Haddix, of Jingle Bells.
Yes,
thank you for blessing the mic on that. Miles Bonney,
yeah.
Who is Tom Brock?
Tom Brock is a person I was working with, Barry White. He had one album, Tom Brock, I Love You More and More, that was released in 1974 on 20th Century Records and was re-released on vinyl in 2003 by a label in the UK, and that's the copy I have in front of me and the copy that you all be hearing the upcoming song from. I have a copy of the original that's super dirty, but if you enjoy this, it's a nice song that is not a Christmas song, not a holiday song, but one that... you know, you can play in between holiday songs, and maybe no one will notice, and they might enjoy it just the same.
Right. You only need one album when your title of your album is I Love You More and More. I mean, what do you got to say after that?
And for this to be his only album, it's substantial.
We'll have a list of tracks that we've played here today and a few bonus picks up on KCUR.org. We're here on Central Standard with Miles Bonney, Renee Blanche, Chuck Haddix, and Bill Shapiro. If you don't know their shows, you better ask somebody. Go to KCUR.org. We're going to hear Tom Brock. The love we share is the greatest love of them all. That's the name of the song.
Super long. And it's not even the longest song in the album.
It's a super long title. Let's go to it. That's The Love We Share Is the Greatest Love of Them All, one of the longer song titles that Miles Bonney has brought through for our Christmas playlist. Not an According to Hoyle Christmas song, but if you turn it on by a fireplace, I mean, come on. Even Chuck Haddock said it's popping. So, I mean, that's what we got here.
Bonus.
That'll light up your tree.
There you go. Boom. Boom. We're lighting up trees here on Central Standard. As we get ready to go into our next half hour of probably the last radio show ever for Central Standard, I have another question from left field real quick. Going around the horn, Santa Baby. What's up with that? Thumbs up or thumbs down, Chuck Haddock?
Oh, man, that's a classic. I mean, it's all thumbs up for Eartha Kitt doing Santa Baby. There's another aspect of Christmas songs, those that cast a kind of cynical eye on Christmas. In 1960, I believe it was 61 or 62, when Columbia was putting together an anthology, Christmas anthology, Teal Macero went to Miles Davis and he said, I want you to record a Christmas song. And Miles could be, well, difficult, you might say. When he wasn't evil, he was difficult. And so Bob Dureau and Miles Davis put together a song, and it's a very cynical song about, you know, Blue Xmas and about spend, spend, spend. Well, Earth is in that same bag where she's saying, Santa Baby. And Pearl Bailey also recorded 5-pound Box of Money. And, you know, she's being sexy and adult. And actually, in rhythm and blues music, Santa becomes an object of desire to these female vocalists.
Santa
Julia Lee did the same thing. Yeah,
in that song.
Santa's a sugar daddy.
That's
a pretty common motif in rhythm and blues music.
I'm just going to get a thumbs up, thumbs down before we go to break. You're feeling Santa Baby, Bill Shapiro?
I share Chuck's feeling. I think Eartha Kitt is somebody who has not really been fully enough appreciated, and that's as good as she's done, I think.
Renee right. Blanche, you like that take?
Sexy. That's how I remember it.
Sexy. One word.
One Renee, word. From
Santa Baby.
Thumbs up.
We're going to go into break with one of Renee's picks, Dana Cunningham, The First Noel. We have an elite group of radio musicologists here to funk up our Christmas day. It's Christmas style with us on Central Standard here on KCUR. Music host Renee Blanche, host of Night Tides. Her pick is playing right now. We have Chuck Haddock's host of Fish Fry and Bill Shapiro of Cypress Avenue. We also have our show's music curator, Miles Bonney, who comes on Central Standard from time to time to bless us with that. We'll hang the tinsel for just a minute with a break. When we return, we find out from our music panel hosts what they think are the worst Christmas songs since people were rocking sandals in Bethlehem. Kansas City, what Christmas song would you be content to never hear again? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. 816-235-2888. Email at centralstandard@kcur.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Central Standard. It's the Christmas Music Show rendition. I'm Jabalani LaFall. When it comes to Christmas songs, there's the sublime, the classics, the songs that have been around so long you're just used to them, and then there's the annoying songs, and finally, the ridiculously horrible, horrendous stuff that makes you wish you could invent a time machine and stop that person from actually recording such eardrum-killing music. Back with us to discuss the Christmas Cantos Criteria is this part of the hour. Is KCUR music host Renee Blanche of Night Tides, Chuck Haddock of The Fish Fry, Bill Shapiro of Cypress Avenue, and Miles Bonney, the 10th wonder of the world.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
I don't know.
The beard is free of charge.
It's a bonus.
Kansas City, what is the absolutely worst Christmas song you've ever heard? Call us up 816-235-2888. 816-235-2888. Ladies first, Renee, what makes a song about Christmas or during Christmas awful?
When it's redundant. It's just redundant, and it doesn't do anything more than say this thing, and it doesn't move or shift.
Ellen and Steve writes in to say, great panel. Tell Chuck and Bill we too are a family that doesn't celebrate Christmas, and we consider it a thing that I cannot read when Chuck and his wife share their Christmas Eves with KCUR listening public. Oh, yeah. Everyone's off work. We get good food on the table, make a fire, and turn up the radio. Don't ever stop is what Ellen and Steve write in to say. So that's props to you, Chuck and Bill. Laganopoly, what? Legapony, cacophony. I'll just make it up
Lanyap.
As we go. Lanyap. Lanyap. We just learned a new word. What is a lanyap?
It's a little something, something extra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the 13th donut you get.
The 13th donut. See, that's the intuition that you cannot fake, that you cannot buy, that cannot be taught, that Chuck Haddix has here with almost 30 years on the radio here with that. So how do you guys feel about people adding words to traditional Christmas lyrics? That's another ingredient for a song to suck eggs. For instance, I'm thinking of such masterpieces as Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, Batman Smells, Joker Got Away.
Oh, yeah.
Adding lyrics to traditional songs, Bill Shapiro, good idea or not?
Oh, I think it's a lousy idea. I'm a big fan of tradition, frankly.
What are the exceptions, Miles Bonney?
If it's better than the original, I don't know. I try to not have any restrictions on what I like to hear.
Could it be Run DMC's take on Clarence Carter's sample with
You know what? I really don't like Run DMC's Christmas
you don't like
song
Christmas
that much.
Songs.
No,
you
I don't
like
think them. Rapping Christmas songs, unless they're completely absurd or entertaining at all.
So rap Christmas songs, not really a good idea. I don't think so.
There's some by Dipset and Cam'ron and some more modern rappers that tickle me a little bit. But
it tickles you, but you're not necessarily feeling it.
It doesn't feel like Bing Crosby, not King Cole, or Ella Fitzgerald to me.
Certainly not. Chuck, what is the ingredient for a horrible, horrendous Christmas song?
Let's see. I think it'd be like cash in on the commercialism. Like I could go without hearing Alvin and the Chipmunks doing
God.
Christmas Time is Here.
Oh, my God.
There's another one that comes to mind. I mean, or just inappropriate. There's another one that comes to mind. I think it's Debbie Dabney is on an anthology I have on a Stash Records where I Want to Spend Christmas with Elvis is the song.
Wow.
And it's like, what? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of really bad ones out there. You know what? You know, somebody was talking earlier on about they didn't want to hear A Little Drummer Boy again. Well, I would recommend they listen to a version done by, not Solomon Burke, but Bill, you remember it. I'll remember it in a second. But it's a killer. It's a killer song version of it. And it's on a soul Christmas anthology, and it's really a wonderful rendition. So
Soul Christmas Anthology is the name of that. So if you want to improve your listening ears on Little Drummer Boy, Chuck has the Soul Christmas Anthology is the remedy to that. We're going to go to Ken in Mission. Ken, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. I'm still on the good songs, not the ones I dislike. One I like from way back in early World War II, when things were going bad for us, the Nazis were winning and so forth, Claude Thornhill and his song, Snowfall.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Blung, blung. But it's so moody. Mm. It captures the spirit of when we're losing in the Second World War. It's one of the most beautiful. People ought to check it out. Go
Ken,
on.
Ken, we were going to actually wait for you to sing that rendition. It sounds like you were going to go into it.
Snowfall by Claude Thornhill. He was not up there with Glenn Miller, but he was one of the more the second level big bands. It was one of the big hits.
Chuck has something to chime in about Claude Thornhill.
Yeah, Gil Evans did the arrangement on that, and it's a wonderful song. You know, it, not only that, but you think about, you know, the songs of World War II, the Christmas songs of World War II are still with us, things like I'll Be Home for Christmas.
White Christmas is around that time.
White Christmas is around that time. When Irving Berlin wrote White Christmas, originally the verse was, I'm sitting here in Beverly Hills dreaming of a white Christmas, and they dropped that to make the appeal more universal. And for soldiers, you know, it brought to mind home and expressed that desire to be home.
And they sat around the campfire singing it. There was even some racial overtones among the regiments during World War II about what White Christmas was and what it wasn't. But everybody wanted to go home.
Yeah, sure. You know, and I'll Be Home for Christmas, I mean, becomes a standard. Bull Moose Jackson recorded a nice version of it I play.
We have Owen and Waldo who says the worst ever for him is Bruce Springsteen's Santa Coming to Town. Yeah, Bruce Springsteen, you don't really count on him for Santa's Coming to Town. Getting back to what's actually good, what about artists that just want to make either a little extra money or fulfill an album commitment with a Christmas album? When should an artist, Miles Bonney, make a Christmas album?
Oh, man, you know what? All I know is that I heard Michael Bublé's new album, and for someone who can actually sing most of the time, I don't know why they give him those subtle auto-tune things they do nowadays to make it a nice ad for a department store or something. But
he shouldn't make a Christmas album.
I mean, if he should, he should be himself on it. You know, make it because it feels right.
All right, let's go to another Chuck in Overland Park.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good, Chuck.
I was going to tell you a couple of my favorites, one of which is the Pretenders version, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I think that song is kind of like a warm blanket on a cold, snowy day. The song that probably I don't like at all is Feliz Navidad. hadn't really liked it from the beginning, and it always just kind of grates on me a little bit.
No prospero año y felicidad for you.
But I also had another title that I wanted to kind of throw a little controversy into the group there. Personally, maybe because I'm a little bit more of a young buck, I really like the Madonna version of Santa Baby much more than Eartha Kitt. I think
wow.
When I listen to Eartha Kitt,
you've
I feel
spoken
like
sacrilege.
I feel like I'm listening to a 45 on 33 when I'm listening to her sing.
Well, we're going to let the other Chuck Haddix, address this sacrilege.
Ding, ding.
Chuck, Madonna.
You gotta be, kidding me, man. That's all I gotta say. You know, you ought to check and see if you're playing at the right speed. You know,
Paul in Brookside, your worst Christmas song ever. What is it?
Hey, how's it going?
And how's it going? Hello to you. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. I think Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time is just a horrible song. It evokes all of the terrible properties that came out of the 70s. But also,
that's Paul McCartney. Is it Paul McCartney?
Yeah, by Paul McCartney. But then also, I think the best Christmas music would have to be Odyssey and Oracle by the Zombies, because it evokes a very winter feel, and then also Trout Mask Replica by Captain Beefheart, because it displays the chaos of Christmas.
You're a wild man, I'll tell you that.
Thank you very much, wild man.
All I can say about that is lick my decals off, baby.
There you go. There you go. Licking decals off on Central Standard. Roosevelt from KC calls in. He wants to know if our panel has heard the James Brown song Santa Claus Going Straight to the Ghetto.
Oh, of course.
I mean, what? Are you serious?
If he will tune in Friday night, he will hear that song. That was Benny King that did The Little Drummer Boy. He does a wonderful version of it with Booker T and the MGs.
Okay. What time during the set is Santa Claus going to go straight to the ghetto on the set?
Probably about second hour or so. I can't remember. I put it together last night.
Wait a minute, Chuck, didn't someone else do Going Straight to the Ghetto?
No.
It was just James Brown and someone else?
James Brown was the one. It could be Africa.
Bambaataa?
Yeah, Bambaataa.
Yeah, because I'm hearing a different version.
I don't recall another version. The James Brown is the one I go for.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
All right. James Brown is the one you go for when going straight to the ghetto. John in Prairie Village, with some of his favorites, writes in, Merry Christmas from the family, Robert Earl Keen. Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home by Darlene Love. Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Gene Autry. Gene Autry is an interesting, eclectic choice, Bill Shapiro.
It is an interesting choice, and it takes us back to the World War II era, too, which I grew up in as well. And Gene Autry had a big hit with a number of songs like that. He was a heck of a singer when you got right down to it.
Chuck, as we get into Satchmo and your selection, Zat You Santa Claus, tell us why you think the World War II era, and Bill, you can feel free to chime in on this too. Tell us why you think the World War II era, the nostalgia of that era, is still so resonant in Christmas songs.
Well, you know, I think speaking for my generation, I was born in 1951. You know, just 6 years after the war. I grew up with the war. And I think that, you know, we have that connection to the greatest generation, too. And, you know, it's a time, I think, in our country when we were totally united for a long period of time. And I think that it just kind of evokes that whole thing about partying. If you look at the music of World War II, music is a reflection of the society that produces it. You look at the music, first it's jingoistic songs, Praise the Lord, Pass the Ammunition, Remember Pearl Harbor, songs of parting, I'll Walk Alone, and then towards the end you have songs of renewal and spring as the soldiers come home.
Chuck, I'm going to differ with you. You didn't grow up during World War II. I grew up during World War II, and I remember it. And I think one of the reasons why it has that kind of impact, we've had a lot of conflict since that time, but there was no conflict that was closer to home than World War II. We had rationing of automobiles. We had rationing of food. We had grease boxes at the schools where we took that in to make ammunition. There were paper sales. It was a part of daily life. And I think that's why it's so incredible.
And a unified front, not necessarily a Cold War proxy war,
exactly.
Not necessarily a police
exactly.
action, not necessarily a strategic thing, but we were at war for our very lives in that. And I guess you think that's why it resonates.
Absolutely.
Miles Bonney, you were born in 1980, but you're feeling Bing Crosby.
I love Bing Crosby. I mean, I just recall.
I love
you know,
him too.
Yeah. I mean, what a voice.
He taught the rest of them how to sing when you get right down to it.
There you go. I mean, that and Ellen and a couple others. I mean, I'm good if I have about two or three of those records with me.
All right. Let's go into old Satchmo. It's always good for a good time. Tell us about Zat You Santa Claus.
Zat You Santa Claus was released in 1953 for the Decca label. And. You know, the thing about it is there's always this nostalgia and there's these the main thing of the record, a lot of these records were released for it was to make money, and this is obviously that. This is falls under the category of a novelty song. The flip side was Cool Yule, and it was not reissued much until it was included in an anthology called Hipster's Holiday. And it was out of print for a long time. We have the 78 in the sound archive. I like it because it kind of casts a fear over. I mean, Santa becomes kind of a menacing figure in this. And, you know, we think of him as a jolly old cat, but he's like, is that you, Santa Claus? You know, and it's just a wonderful novelty song.
All right, we're going to go to that right now. Is that you, Santa Claus? Satchmo.
But I pause because hang in my stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? Sure is dark out, ain't the slightest spark out upon my clacking jaw. Who's there, who is it, stopping for a visit? Is that you, Santa Claus? Are you bringing a present for me? Something pleasantly pleasant for me. That is just what I've been waiting for. Would you mind slipping it under the door? Old winds are howling. Or could that be growling? My legs feel like stars. Yeah, my, oh me, my. Kindly will you reply? Is that you, Santa Claus?
KCUR Music Show host Renee Blanche, host of Night Ties, Chuck Haddix, host of The Fish Fry, and Bill Shapiro of Cypress Avenue are here. We also have our show's music curator here, Miles Bonney. We're live on Central Standard on KCUR, home of all that good programming that I just mentioned. It also streams live on KCUR.org. Plug, I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is our Christmas song show. Each host has brought their own playlist. What you just heard is Zat You Santa Claus, Louis Satchmo Armstrong off Chuck Haddix's playlist. We're going to get straight to the next item. David Arkenstone, Who on Earth Is That, Renee Blanche?
Oh my gosh, David Arkenstone, of course, is a new age music artist, musician, if you will. I'm not quite sure exactly what his instrument is. I think he's a multi-instrumentalist. And what I like about this CD is the magic and the combination of his multi-instrumentation and some electronic. It's fun and it fills in the dead space and it is not your typical sound in terms of Christmas music, even though it's called Silver Bells. With this music, with Night Tides music, what I'm trying to create is this kind of, is that what I think it is kind of a
right,
moment? Is that,
right.
Oh, that's what that is. It doesn't sound like
she's got to qualify. Like with this music, yeah. I got to tell you, yeah. This is it's not just traditional Silver Bells.
Yeah.
Let's hear David Arkenstone's version, take
yes.
abstract creation of Silver Bells.
Of Silver Bells,
let's
yeah.
check it out.
Thank you.
listening to Central Standard. That's Silver Bells, a very metaphysical tune, one of Rene Blanche's picks from Night Tides, if you can't tell. We also have Bill Shapiro of Cypress Avenue, Chuck Haddix, host of The Fish Fry, and Miles Bonney just yes. gave Rene Blanche a high five.
With high five for diversity.
Shine music. Bill Shapiro of Cypress Avenue also has something queued up for us as we fade the chime music out. What do you have queued up for us, Bill?
Well, we've been talking about Christmas songs, and I think we also need to talk about Christmas albums because there have been a lot of them out
certainly,
there.
Certainly, certainly. Let's do it.
Phil Spector's A Christmas Gift to You is one of the truly great albums of all time, and Darlene Love is one of the most unrecognized great singers of all time. She does numerous cuts on that album. The one I like best is Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, without further ado. Christmas Baby, Please. Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. I'm sure that resonates with all of us. That's Darlene Love, one of Bill Shapiro, host of Cypress Avenue, one of his picks. It evokes that Christmas spirit. When you guys go to Christmas parties, are you ever tempted to go up and tell the DJ, excuse me, I'll take it from here. Chuck?
No, we want to encourage more DJs.
You want to encourage
yeah,
them.
You know, I've got kind of a little mean streak in me on occasion. I have to watch that.
Nobody invites me to a party with a DJ, so I can't answer that question.
Renee, everyone smack
DJ's
face.
I don't even attend Christmas parties.
No, you're zen.
I'm zen.
You're zen.
Yeah.
Miles Bonney, I know you.
What?
I know
what?
Do you ever want to just...
No,
I got this. Excuse me. I got this. You ever want to do that at
no,
a Christmas
man.
Party?
You know what? I get hassled enough, and I think I have good taste, so I don't like to hassle other people.
Here we go. I want to curate the discussion on Donny Hathaway's This Christmas and go around the horn, the wreath of discussion, as it were. Bill Shapiro, what do you feel about Donny Hathaway's This Christmas?
I think it's one of those songs that doesn't get enough play. I think it's a song that isn't well known, and Donny Hathaway is not well enough known. Just a great artist and a great work by him.
Donny Hathaway, your take, Chuck Haddix?
Well, this kind of reflects the anticipation of Christmas and all the best aspects of Christmas and just the celebration of the season. It's a very celebratory song, and I think that's one of its appeal, that and the anticipation.
Renee, this is another one of those Temptations verse type things, because there is on the Temptations album a version of This Christmas. But does Donny Hathaway's take the cake?
Yeah, his is, if I had to choose between the two, I like his better. It's romantic. It takes me straight back to Detroit.
Takes you straight back
home.
To Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Does this song, Miles Bonney, take you straight back?
It just, you know, for someone along the lines of what Bill was saying, who hasn't gotten much, he didn't have a large clout, he wasn't well known. For him to have a song that sounds like this and is at all popular, I'm grateful for.
Well, without further ado, This Christmas, the incomparable Donny Hathaway. Christmas. Donny Hathaway's This Christmas plays in the background. Renee Blanche, host of Night Tides. Chuck Haddix, host of Fish Fry. Bill Shapiro of Cypress Avenue. We also have our show's music curator here, Miles Bonney, live on Central Standard. This has been our Christmas music show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks for inviting
me. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, one of the things I really enjoyed is watching
Chuck,
her bust a move.
We got to go. We got to go. Tune in tomorrow for the Walt Bodine Show with co-host Monroe Dodd and a conversation about prairie fries. We had amazing help from multimedia intern Tamika Weatherspoon. Our show is produced by Andrew Salenzi, executive produced by Bill Anderson. Kim Noble is our announcer. Emily Mutert runs our website. Central Standard's intro theme music is by Miles Bonney, who's right here in the studio. You're hearing Donny Hathaway taking us out. Up to Date is next with a look at how old buildings are being repurposed. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.